Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the CGF Sustainability Podcast. In this series, we take a deep dive into all things sustainability, from forced labour to plastic waste and the circular economy, to food waste, forests, and so much more.
Hello and welcome back to the CGF Sustainability Podcast series. My name is Maria Isabel Cubido Sanchez and I'm pleased to share with you today a very special episode in the podcast series. As Senior Manager of the CGF's Human Rights Coalition, I'm here live in Kyoto, Japan for the CGF Annual Summit, the theme of which is Pursuit of Harmony in Turmoil, Working Together to Make a Difference. To help discuss this theme with me is a very special guest, Tomoya Obokata, the UN Special Rapporteur on Contemporary Forms of Slavery. He is joining us here in Kyoto for a special roundtable discussion between CGF members and the Japanese government about how to best collaborate to enable respect for human rights in the consumer goods industry. Let's tune in. Tomoya, thank you very much for speaking with me and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for your invitation.
We have a packed agenda here at the Global Summit, so let's dive straight into my questions for you. First, from your perspective as the UN Special Rapporteur on Contemporary Forms of Slavery, tell us about some of the trends we're seeing globally about forced labor and modern slavery. The International Labour Organization released new statistics in 2021, illustrating that cases of both are on the rise globally. What are some of the ways that we can explain these trends?
So, well, once again, well, thank you very much for inviting me to this podcast. Now, there are several structural causes such as poverty, inequality, and discrimination, which serve as key causes of contemporary forms of slavery. And particularly vulnerable groups in this regard include, for example, women, children and young people, minorities, indigenous peoples, migrant workers, older workers, and workers with disabilities. They are more likely to be affected by these practices, including forced labor, because of these structural causes. And there are other causes, external causes, such as armed conflict. So what's happening in Ukraine and in Myanmar right now. And the COVID-19 pandemic also resulted in unemployment, which forced many people into slavery and forced labor practices. And increasingly, the climate change has become an important issue for me because that can lead to displacement. And then when people are displaced, that increases the chance of human trafficking and exploitation. So these are some of the causes. And according to the ILO that you mentioned, Asia and the Pacific is affected by forced labor compared to other regions. And that raises a good amount of concerns for myself.
Thank you so much. So it's clearly a context of crisis and one that, given the global setting, will continue to accelerate. It's also happening in a setting where business and human rights and the responsibility of business to respect human rights is becoming more and more important. Following the UN guiding principles on business and human rights, we know business have a key responsibility to address human rights impacts in their operation and business practices. So they play a key role in enabling respect for human rights in global value chains. Concretely, what are some of the measures business of any size in any location in the world should be taking to address and prevent modern slavery and forced labor risks in their value chains?
Thank you for that question. And I do agree that businesses do have responsibility to respect and protect human rights. The initial first step then is to create a human rights due diligence policy within their own company and making sure that policy is implemented. So human rights due diligence is to identify and mitigate potential and actual risks of human rights violations. And then they do have to establish a robust monitoring mechanisms in their business operations from starting from the headquarters down to supply chains. And all of that is necessary. And then prevent these human rights violations, in my case, forced labor and other slavery-like practices. And I'm happy to say that the increasing number of businesses are doing that, but I think there's much scope to strengthen this human rights due diligence.
Yes, absolutely. There is a momentum for human rights due diligence. We have seen that emerging legislation and mandatory requirements are becoming increasingly prevalent around the world. We have also seen that thanks to legislation in certain European countries like France and Germany, it's becoming a regional element at the European level. And there is also similar legislation elsewhere in the world. What do you think about this trend? And should more countries do the same? What is your message to these countries?
Sure, of course. And first of all, I think you're right that the international community or the world is moving towards mandatory due diligence that is legally requiring companies to implement in human rights due diligence. Now, as you mentioned, Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands, Norway, and so on, and have already have legislation in place. North America also has implemented so-called import bans on goods, which may be produced as a result of forced labor. So this is, I think, where the global community is heading, in my view. And I do appreciate that many businesses and countries are quite nervous, but my message is quite clear. Protection of human rights goes hand in hand with prosperity of each and every business. So if you are able to protect their rights, that naturally can enhance productivity on the part of workers, and that will certainly lead to profitability in the end. So I think the message from my side of things is quite clear. So I don't think they have to be nervous about these things. If they protect and then you know, they will be able to protect their also company's image and profitability and so on. And it is also important to remember that consumers are also becoming more aware of these issues such as forced labor and slavery in supply chains. And then they're increasingly taking actions such as consumer boycott and publicity and things like that in conjunction with civil society organizations. So I think it would be important for businesses and governments to work collaboratively with different stakeholders, such as business organizations and trade unions and civil society organizations, and someone like myself at the international and regional levels.
That's very insightful. Thank you for sharing those thoughts on this. I would also underline that as this type of legislation becomes more prevalent and global companies have to comply with it, there is definitely support from the business side for this type of legislation to be implemented elsewhere. And this is because it would mean additional governmental support would be available to complement companies' responsible business effort. But let's then go back to Japan, because we are in Kyoto speaking here at the Global Summit. Japan is making progress on human rights issues, with some example being the release of their guidance on corporate human rights due diligence and the ambition during the recent G7 conference to create a more inclusive labor market. What are some other positive examples in Japan and the Asia region of progress with respect to business and human rights? And on the other hand, where does progress still needs to be made?
Okay, if I can be honest here, I think Asia and Pacific is slightly behind in all of these things. And as you rightly said, in North America, in Europe, they are implementing all this mandatory due diligence, but Asia and Pacific, Latin America and so on are still yet to implement that. Then I think that's understandable, and the UN guiding principles do not dictate that the governments have to implement mandatory due diligence. And I think all of this all depends on the local context and the business, the relationship between the governments and businesses. So I think, as you said, the Japan recently adopted the guidelines. If that works and if that encourages companies to implement due diligence, I think there's nothing wrong with that. Is what I'm hearing is that companies in Japan and Asia and Pacific are actively implementing due diligence even without legislation. And I think that is a positive a sign that I see in that particular region. And I'd like to believe that that is going to continue. So that's a kind of a, I suppose, it's not necessarily good practice, but I think the positive like movement towards recognition of human rights due diligence as an important ingredient of the business operation.
That makes very much sense. And it's true that while legislation will not solve all problems, it can become an additional tool in a company's toolbox to address complex human rights issues. On the other hand, of course, where there are policies, action plans, or other tools, there needs to be an effort of implementation. That's what may make a significant difference in practice.
Totally. And as I said, I think it is important, extremely important for businesses to work collaboratively with different stakeholders, as I said, civil society organizations and trade unions, workers' organizations. And so I'd like to stress the importance of all of us working together. And that is likely to be more positive than, you know, top-down approach of, like, let's say, this is legislation, you do it. And obviously companies will do it, but it would be far better to have that collaborative working relationship involving, you know, everyone, including workers themselves. And now oftentimes workers themselves are left out of this decision-making processes. So my recommendation is that either workers' representatives like trade unions or workers themselves are included in the decision-making. For example, you know, if they're developing a human rights due diligence policy, yes, let's involve trade unions or workers themselves. And that collaborative approach, I'd like to see more. And, to be fair, many companies, including in Japan and Asia Pacific and beyond, are doing just that. And I think, once again, that is a good thing, to happen.
It is encouraging indeed. Still, this work is very challenging. What or who keeps you inspired to continue these efforts in fighting contemporary forms of slavery?
Sure. Well, thank you for that, Ian. Obviously, this is a very serious issue, and large number of people are affected. 50 million people are held in modern slavery, contemporary forms of slavery on any given day. So there's lots of challenges, to solve this problem. But what inspires me is the passion and of stakeholders. Again, they include civil society organizations, trade unions, and workers' organizations, and businesses and government. And many businesses do actually genuinely care about these issues. And I think that is quite inspiring. And so that's why I would certainly like to work with businesses and other stakeholders to promote due diligence and prevent contemporary forms of slavery together. But, you know, there's a long road ahead. We all agree on that one. But I think increasingly businesses in Japan and beyond are taking important steps. And so let's work together is the message I'd like to convey.
I really like that message. Collaboration and working together are definitely key values of the CGF's Human Rights Coalition. And you've shared some interesting thoughts and messages today, including the interconnectedness between human rights, forced labor, and other issues like the protection of the environment. You also talked about the climate, which is accelerating or contributing to these challenges and how it is becoming more complex over time, as well as the connection between the protection of human rights and business prosperity, productivity, stability, and resilience. We need the collaboration within governments and business to overcome the challenges of this complex topic. And we also need collaboration among various stakeholders like unions, civil society, and human rights defenders. So we gotta get to work. Well, that's the time we have for today. Thank you so much, Tomoya, for joining me for this very interesting conversation. It has been a pleasure to speak with you. And on behalf of the CGF and the Human Rights Coalition, we look forward to continuing to work together to respect human rights in our industry globally.
Absolutely. Thank you very much once again for inviting me, and I look forward to working with you and your colleagues in the future.
If you would like to find out more about the Consumer Goods Forum and our work on sustainability, you can visit our website at www.theconsumergoodsforum.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please do subscribe to the podcast for more episodes coming very soon. Thank you, and bye for now.